after Saturday, what have you sort of focused on in that 18 minute, I guess, drop off in that third quarter? What have you sort of thought about it?
Yeah, specifically that small part of the game is where we spent a lot of our time. And I think every club in the competition would have a good understanding of what it is you're trying to do in those circumstances. The execution is obviously the more challenging part. So we spent a little bit of time just identifying the causes and a bit of time working on the fixes. And it's not easy. I mean, I thought the opposition played really well. There was, when you actually analyse it, there's some really good pieces of individual and team playing there, which is hard to stop. But at the same time, there are some things that we certainly should have executed better. But in saying that, I think it is important not to get bogged down in the minutiae of that small part of the game. It was very costly and it cost us the game. But we've also focused a fair bit on the rest of the game, which we thought was really positive. So it's always a challenge when you lose by a small margin, as it is when you win by a small margin, to be frank. You want to actually take a step back and be balanced in your assessment of the performance. And it's only human nature that if you just get over the line, you feel a bit better about things, and if you don't, you feel a bit worse. You know, our job, I think, as a coaching group is to try to balance that out and make sure that the players have good perspective.
Is it tricky at times to do that and find that balance when, I think you said after the game, you played well for 9 minutes of 110, but at 20 minutes cost you the match. Do you find it tough to find that balance and say we played all right here for the majority of the game?
Yeah, it is, because you are fighting your instincts, I think. It's frustrating when people try to tell you to feel a certain way, when you know logically that is the right thing to be thinking, but it's hard to override your emotions. So yeah, we all felt flat about it, really disappointed, but again, tried to take a step back and be really professional about it, which is our job. It's tricky, as you say, but not impossible. Our job is to try to override those things, make sure we look at it with a clear head and give good instruction going forward, which we think we've done.
Jeff, you're still on track to play the weekend,
aren't you? Yeah, he is. Yeah, there's no... certainly been no hiccups in his rehab. So, again, sort of touch a little bit on the concussive incidents and talk about the spectrum that exists and all those things, but it's just not valuable. He's in the protocol, and they tell me he'll be available.
Have you figured out how you're going to balance your defensive stocks with him coming back in? Are you looking to move a defender into the midfield, perhaps, or anything like that to balance things out?
We've got a few options on the table that we're still a little way away from completely deciding on, but... We haven't got a full list available, so we're far from the position at the moment where we're thinking, well, we've got too many players for too few spots. So, that's not a huge concern of ours at the moment. We think, I wouldn't call it experimentation, but some of the things that have looked a little bit different over the last few weeks, Tom Stewart's role, Mitch Duncan's role, you know, we've got a few options there to consider.
Port Adelaide obviously started 0-5 and bounced back on the last four. Have you seen them playing a lot different in the last 4 weeks, or is it just the results have gone their way? How do you see their challenge?
No, I suspect, without completely knowing, that they are playing more like the way they wanted to. I don't think it's been a deliberate change necessarily in terms of the way they've been trying to play. They've just been able to execute it better. And I think, but we're seeing right across the competition that a few players, key players out, makes a difference, and those guys coming back also has a positive influence. And they seem to be more back to the way they were last year. That's a pretty superficial assessment, but certainly going a lot better. To your point, I don't think they've really changed their style a lot. But Ken knows more than I do,
Chris,
in this respect.
Sorry, Chris. Are we at a point in the season where it's important to stay ahead of the ledger? You're 5-4, lost obviously
against
your 5-5. Are we still too early in the year for looking at that sort of stuff?
Too early probably, but is there ever a good time to be thinking that way internally? I think that's questionable. You can look at the reality from the outside and say it's much better to be way ahead of the ledger than the other way. But internally, probably the best policy is to narrow your focus and get your game in as good a shape as possible, and you know, have that stuff look after itself. But we do have three games before the bye. That's kind of a natural sort of pause in the season. So I think more than looking at the win-loss situation and trying to assess the importance of one game over another, I think our priority needs to be getting our game in really good shape. And we think there are some good signs there. We just haven't been able to put it together for long enough periods within games and within weeks as well. So that's our challenge.
Ray Stan, is it expected to be an ongoing issue? The ankle, I know, with a recurrence or same spot.
Yeah. I think it's likely that he'll have a light week and then be available to play. But that's the advice that I've been given. His ankle injury wasn't serious. He was missed a week, was available to play, just chagged it in the first 5 minutes, but was able to come back and play the game out. So we haven't had the complete prognosis given to us yet, but yeah. Put it this way, by this stage of the week, if it's clear that he wouldn't be playing, we would know, and we haven't got that information.
Chris, interested in your thoughts as a coach on it's not your club, but of the Dylan Shield, Luke Parker incident on the weekend. Would you, as a coach, have issue with your players taking, line in the sand's a bit of an extreme term, but making it known that that's not acceptable, making a stand for their teammate? Where would you see that as a coach in terms of a response from your
And I'll try to explain it by pointing to a book that's being written sort of by and for Neil Baum. And he talked really well about this. He's been a great influence on me as a coach. And he said, in effect, you play to the rules of the day. And his role back in the day was to play the way he did. I kind of felt a little bit that way myself as a player. But if we played today, we'd need to play to the rules of the day. And so the way we coach our team is we want you to be aggressive. We want you to stand up for yourself and for your teammates, but always within the rules. Like there is, I think back in the day, you could come up with situations where you'd say, we're okay giving away a free kick here, or we're okay giving away a goal or a 15-metre penalty. That's not our policy today. So I haven't actually seen the incident. It's been relayed to me, but I think in principle, and this is much easier said than done, and as coaches, as a footy manager of Neil Baum, he's saying, do as I say, not as I did. And in this situation, you'll get an opportunity to fight hard for the footy and win the next contest. Personally, and I know this may be interpreted as being hypocritical, but I don't think there's any place in the game for all this rubbish when players give away free kicks that they get whacked in the back of the head or they get pushed or they get ridiculed. I think it's the stuff of yesteryear. But I understand I'm probably setting myself up for criticism there. But again, as Barmy would say, you play to the rules of the day. And I think anyone that says, you got to go and belt him or puff your chest out and push him just to show you're standing up for your mates, highly questionable in my view. But what happens in the next 5 minutes of the game, that's what you should be watching. And if that's the criticism that was levelled at us, then we would take that personally and we would fight to change that.
Chris, Gary Rowan's two-parter, play VFL Sunday, and if he does, what have you sort of got a time frame in mind for him to work back in towards playing AFL footy?
I'll go one better, Kingy. He'll play this week, I think. So we want to see how he goes over the next few days, but he doesn't need to do anything special over the next few days to be available. He was the plan, given that there was a VFL bye last week, was to have him ready to play last week, knowing that there was a bit of a buffer there. So he did a training load which was in excess of his game load the previous couple of weeks, which if you pulled up well from, had him available this week. So, yeah, pretty sure he's going to play.
We know what he can do. What variable does he bring to your team that you probably may have lacked through the first 9 rounds of the season?
Yeah, well, I mean, we at our best, we like that combination with Hawkins and Cameron and Rowan in there being a little bit different. We've worked a little bit through the pre-season, which has been hard because he's he's been injured for a fair chunk of it, but trying to sort of vary up his role a little bit, because it is one of the really difficult roles in the game. Very, very hard to be consistent in that position, because you are at mercy to the way the game's been played up the field. So we've put some work into what it looks like with him higher up the ground. But, you know, he's, in my view, the way that he pressures means that he's going to be a valuable player irrespective of whether he's getting the ball. And he's blessed with great speed and power, but he's also got an intent to get after the opposition, which our coaches and our players love. So I think those parts in and of themselves have us excited that he's back this week.
Is that something he'll have a licence to do, say, if he's feeling a little bit quiet before 50, or going to the midfield now? Is that something the message will come down to and have a run on the ball up front?
Yeah, so without giving away everything that we try to do with our system, it's not a bad example, that one, of the autonomy we try to give players. We don't think that we live in a world now where the coaches need to pull the puppet strings from the coach's box. We get so much time to work with players who are really coachable that we'd like to think that they understand the sort of things that we're going after, and then they have enough autonomy to make those decisions on field. And we're as much as anything, we're kind of quality control. Up in the box, if we see something we don't like, or if that's disrupting the cohesion of the rest of the team, then we've got the ability to change it. But yeah, we wouldn't like to think that our players are waiting for Shannon Burns to run out before they adapt, which sort of goes back to your first question about that 18 minutes in the St Kilda game. We'd like to think that our system is good enough that those things can happen autonomously. Didn't quite happen well. It didn't happen well enough on the weekend, so that's what we've been working on. Yeah, I think it helps. I think, again, it's a really good discussion, and one of the reasons we don't have really specific division coaches is that it can become one of the reasons is it can become a bit territorial. And if we had a special teams coach, for example, I reckon that guy would want Jeremy in most centre bounces, but the forward guy kind of wants us to kick it to him. So. Yeah, we've worked on that a little bit, and again, I think as much as anything, and I'm happy to accept that I could be wrong here, that the way the players are feeling out there sort of trumps what we think theoretically from the box. We just want to give them enough room to back their instincts.
Chris, you've been 5-4 a few times during your time at the club, and a lot of those times you've gone on a string of 5-6 games together. Can you use anything from those scenes where you've done that at this point, or is it every year different?
Yeah, I think the answer is it's different, but especially when you've got some experienced players in your room. One of the hardest things to coach is hope and confidence and belief that in the future we will be able to play better than we are at the moment. What we're in the fortunate position of now is we have some senior players in our group who don't need to guess what it looks like. They've done it before. Now they need to do it in combination with the more inexperienced players we've brought into our system, but we've got great faith that we can build some momentum and win a decent stretch of games. But we just prefer to do it in the reverse manner, which is not focus on the outcome of we've got to win 4 or 5 in a row. It's get our game in really good shape, and sort of doesn't matter who we play, where we play, when we play.
Yeah, on the couple of different times in the PFL.
It's really exciting, Kingy. It is. Flynn came to us with a little bit of I wouldn't say an issue with his body, but as we do with all the young players, we like to spend a little bit of extra time getting them resilient before we expose them to the rigours of consistent footy. And it's logical, I think. The guys like Flynn, they've never played against men. I could be wrong there, but for the most part, draftees play against players their own age to throw them in. Into the heat of footy against well-developed men is a big jump. So we've taken our time with Flynn, but he's shown us a bit through his training to get us excited. And Toby, he was going really well through the pre-season, and we don't see any reason why he won't make very quick strides towards AFL footy, except that we'll deliberately hold him back at certain times because we're more interested in what he's like in 3 years' time than what he's like in 3 weeks' time.
Is the door open for him to play AFL this
year? Yep. Yeah, it is. Now, that's not a guarantee, but and same with all our young players. It is just because we choose to give them a more considered training program rather than just throwing them all in. It can be misconstrued as, well, you're depriving them the chance of playing AFL footy. It's actually the reverse. The two things can happen simultaneously. We want their overall load to come down, but we'd like to maximise their opportunity to play a little bit. And, you know, an AFL game is probably worth more than a couple of AFL games in terms of experience and excitement, all that sort of stuff. And he's shown us through his training that that door is certainly not closed.
Sean Higgins, will he play at any level this weekend?
No, he won't play this week. And so we're sort of thinking about how his program looks heading into our bye. But so that's just the status quo there, which is we want to make sure that when he plays, he's ready to play his best. And he's just got an issue at the moment, which doesn't allow him to play his best. So same as a whole heap of guys.
Did you ever ask about Jack Henry?
No, keep asking, because it is like the, in all seriousness, the advice to us is, they're going to treat it symptomatically and he'll keep stepping up his program, and as long as he's pain-free, he can progress really quickly, which is happening. But he's not training with a group yet, so I think we're starting to sort of get to that. You know, could he play the week before the bye? Should we hold him back for another 2 weeks, use the bye, play the following week? That's roughly the time frame, which is much more information than I normally give you. I don't know what got into me.